Hey, this is Tim McKernan, and I am here with Seth Goldkamp of Design Air Heating and Cooling, and I have been a longtime Design Air client. What separates you guys from everybody else?
It's becoming more common for companies to just get their foot in the door. They try to come up with different ways to upsell. They try to see how much they can make off of a customer as opposed to, hey, we're in there to do a service. We're going to do it well. We're going to do it for a fair price.
I don't know how many emails I have received from our listeners who experienced the incredible customer service Design Air Heating and Cooling provides. It's Design Air Heating and Cooling online at designairservice.com. Presented to you by Brown & Crouppen. My name is Tim McKernan. That's Doug Vaughn. Also, Darren Atkins and Jackson Burkett. Ken Strode is going out and looking at the Earth's rotation.
Yeah, he's just finding out about it. Must be fascinating to find out how we get 24 hours in a day.
Did you stare at the sun and the moon and delve into this?
Nope.
Think about it at all? You know,
I know it was a stupid question.
Well,
but somebody had to say.
Somebody had to ask.
Hey, the sun came around as dark. Let's call it a day. Somebody had to say that.
Well, see, the sun doesn't come around. The sun stays where it's at.
You say that.
The Earth revolves.
Think about that.
The Earth goes around the sun. How long for the Earth to go completely around the sun?
24 hours.
No, for the Earth to go completely around the sun.
Year.
Nice.
365 and a quarter days.
But somebody had to say, let's just say 24 hours. Let's just call it a day.
They measured it.
Let's make it 12 o'clock to 12 o'clock.
They didn't just say that. Well, they set up time.
Well, somebody had to.
Okay. But the 24 hours is caused by the Earth's rotation.
I know that, but who came up with 24 hours?
Egyptians.
Who decided it was 24 hours?
Egyptians.
The Earth decided it was...
And who came up with hours?
The sundial.
In minutes.
It's like a sundial cut into 12 sections. Mm-hmm.
All right, but somebody had to do that, right?
Yeah, the Egyptians.
All right, well, I only asked the question. Who came up with 24 hours? Jackson just answered it.
Good job, Jackson.
You made it sound like I was an idiot.
Who had the first kid?
Well, you said you didn't realize it took the Earth 24 hours to rotate.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. It's okay. We're over it now.
Yep, that's the good
we're
news.
We're past it.
There's a lot of things I don't know. Mm. Like when a chicken lays an egg. How do they know which one is an egg is going to hatch and a baby's going to come out and which one you can fry?
I've explained that to you.
When? I never asked that question.
Yes, you did once before.
Did I?
Yes, you know, because if there's a rooster present in the hen house, then you might get live chickens. Mm. If there's not a rooster around, you're going to get eggs that weren't fertilized. Just like in human reproduction.
Right,
there has to be a male involved.
All right, what if there's not a rooster around?
Then you'll get eggs that won't
be
live.
What if a rooster got in there and then left? You don't know it's there.
Well, if a rooster got, there has to be a rooster involved for you to get an egg with a live chicken in it. Just as there has to be a male human involved in the reproduction of a human being.
Not necessarily.
Yes, there does have to be a male involved. How can there not be a male involved?
Uh-oh.
Explain that.
I'm thinking.
There has to be a male. Has to be a female.
There's
no way around it.
You can always agree on that one.
Doug, I have a couple. I do want to get back to science, but a couple of pieces of news and notes. Something the way our industry that we were both talking about, the Munganess St. Louis Acura, Munganess Burkhart, Alton Toyota, 7 o'clock, that we're like really high on. Like, oh, this is going well. People are starting to make more money, and there's more integrity. And people aren't just making stuff up for social media engagement.
Right.
This is kind of off brand, but it started making its way around the internets yesterday that the Cardinals were seeking public money for stadium improvements at Busch Stadium, which is approaching its 20th birthday. Now, this guy Nathan, do you pronounce it Rebelke?
I always have.
Who is an editor at the St. Louis Business Journal. I don't like what he did. And I don't like to call out other media people. But he actually went to the source and asked him questions and then got quotes.
Doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I don't like...
That's not journalism today.
I don't like this. But then Bill DeWitt III gave him answers. And then the answers didn't match up with what was reported and then passed around social media yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. What's happened to journalism?
Thank you. DeWitt said in an interview with the Business Journal that Busch Stadium will likely need a big infusion of capital in the years ahead to extend its lifespan, but that it's too soon to know if the Cardinals plan to utilize public funding to assist with that future investment. Quote, it's going to need that capital influx at some point. Nobody is talking about how we're going to finance yet. It's so premature to say something remotely implying that we're out there asking for public assistance. Why would I be out asking for public money when I don't even know what I'm asking for yet? And I don't even know if I'm asking for anything. That is from Bill DeWitt III this morning in the St. Louis Business Journal. With the current Busch Stadium, which opened in 2006, nearing 20 years old, DeWitt said, quote, it will probably need a big slug. You like that? A big slug?
I don't mind it.
Of capital to fix aging infrastructure and probably create some new fan amenities. Quote, I don't know when that is. We're just on the front end of that planning process, the very front end of that planning process. It's probably several years away. So there is that.
But it's more fun at a time when the Cardinals are struggling to claim that they're desperate for public money and want it now, or they're threatening to move. That's more fun to talk about.
So are you trying to say that you may get engagement if you talk about billionaires asking for public funding, even if it may not necessarily be going on?
Well, yeah. It's more fun to rip them than to actually know the truth.
Do we know who was the first person to report that, to come out with that?
The Egyptians?
Is it? No.
The Sundial, Jackson.
Because a lot of people have come
out. Bill Planet.
A lot of people come out and said, we've heard, but somebody had to come out with that first, and everybody followed. That's what they do. They take one person who says something, and they all jump on
it. Somebody probably came up with the conclusion that they are going to ask for public money in the future. Because DeWitt didn't come right out and say, no, we would never ask for public money in the future. He said, they may, don't know, but they may or may not. So you can run with that and say, well, they may, so looks like they're going to.
Well, I would suggest he wouldn't ask.
You'd say just what?
I would suggest that he doesn't ask for public funding first.
I mean, I'd be surprised if they used every penny of their own funds. I mean, public money seems to be the most common trend for sports franchises, not putting words in anybody's mouth or jumping to conclusion, but that is kind of the first route that owners take. But maybe they're smarter. They know how to feel out the room, I feel like, maybe. Right.
Well, and their argument would be that that stadium pumps out an awful lot of tax revenue for the city, an awful lot that benefits the city in tax revenue. Therefore, if they want that tax revenue to continue for the city, they need some help updating the stadium. That would be their argument.
I just don't think they have leverage, so.
I don't think there's a lot of public sentiment to improve stadiums, not just here, but anywhere. In California, I think it's even a law where you can no longer provide public taxpayer money for stadiums. That's one of the reasons Kroenke was like the only guy that could move a football stadium to LA, because he had all the money himself.
That's why STL,
not many of them do.
The STL City Stadium, I think, is a new precedent that's set in the city that, like, okay, if you want, you know, to bring a team here, build it yourself, and we'll come. And they've done a great job of that.
There's really no appetite from taxpayers to buy and build stadiums for billionaire owners.
And for DeWitt and Mozeliak, obviously, he's going to be running more of the real estate side of things in a couple of years or whatever the case might be. They have no leverage. They're not leaving for Nashville or another city and leaving Ballpark Village just to rot and waste a bunch of money on. I'm sure they're spending a ton of money on those projects, and you're not just going to leave it because you're throwing a temper tantrum because you're not getting public funds. So I don't think they have a leg to stand on there.
They talked about last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, when they had that radio luncheon, they talked about their plans for another big tower like the residential tower they have now. They're going to build another one there next to it. You know, Ballpark Village, they're going to build another big tower right next to it.
I'm trying to think of what where they would
put it. There's a parking lot there now.
Oh, okay.
Just take all the Rams' money you got and give it to the Cardinals.
Well, that's
we don't even know where that is.
Yeah,
right?
That money got lost.
We haven't found that yet.
No, we don't have that.
Steven Times says, that response from DeWitt sounds like somebody that got caught asking for public money. It was very defensive.
He sounded defensive, but maybe defensive because an article was written about, you know, falsehoods. You know, it could be, that could be the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose any team would probably ask.
I'm going to say he's not going to.
They may not get it, but any team would ask. Again, claiming that we provide millions of dollars in tax revenue for this city, we'd like to get a little bit of help so we can continue with this project.
But you're not asking the city for the money. You're asking taxpayers to pay for it.
Right.
How much money are taxpayers getting from all the benefits?
They don't get money from it. They get entertainment from it.
What entertainment exactly are we talking about?
You're paying for the
baseball
entertainment.
Team. They just lost to the Oakland A's.
They won 2 out of 3.
I can't find the entertainment because the entertainment app they provided is trash.
Oh.
Like, if they want us to build
are you making any attempt at all to understand the big picture?
I think if they want the taxpayer to pay for a stadium, we pay for it like they have constructed this roster. We give them used beams, material. You get you get plastic forks, plastic silverware, plastic plates for everything. That's what they'll get. A half-ass stadium that looks like it's from a third world country. Because right now, that's kind of what I feel like I'm watching product on the field. So if they want the money, we're going to do exactly what they've done to this team, to your stadium.
And they're already paying for the entertainment. They buy tickets.
We need to put entertainment in huge quotation marks because it is not entertaining.
Well, it is for like 35, 40,000 people a night every time they open the building. People find it entertaining enough to plop down a lot of money to go see it.
I see more people walking with their Apple Watch and trying to get their steps in, but yeah,
oh, for
I guess that's
sakes.
True too. It's like the Cardinals is like the new mall to where there's a lot of people, but there's not a lot of people buying things. Just walking around.
They're just walking around down there.
You could make the argument that if the Cardinals fall apart, if that stadium falls apart and Cardinal baseball falls apart, the city will deteriorate even more than it has already.
I don't even know if it would be a city.
The Cardinals are a very valuable piece of the city of St. Louis. Probably the single most important part of the city of St. Louis is that St. Louis Cardinal franchise.
Since 06, according to a report on MLB's website, the Cardinals and Busch Stadium have generated $545 million of revenue since 06.
For the city.
With that 18 years?
Yeah, tax revenue to the city and state.
Yeah, where would the city be without that? We are with it.
I didn't say the city was better off without the Cardinals. I hope that's not coming off as definitely is not.
Well, that goes to my point. They've made that money for the city. All right. Well, the city, give them money if they wanted to.
But who funds the city?
The city are the taxpayers. That's the city.
Well, we've already paid for enough. All you keep is asking for more money for we pay taxes to fix the roads and things like that. Good. I got to pay for a baseball team.
Well, but again, understand that the baseball team generates a lot of tax revenue for the city, and that revenue can be used for any number of purposes.
All right, well, keep it the same taxes. Take the taxes we've already paid to pay for the stadium. Yeah, I'm sure you got some in reserve somewhere.
I don't know.
Look, we just played Tyler Motter like 80 games last year. We need to hold up on asking people for money, homie. Like, you got to put an actual human being together before you
see that people like me who don't really pay attention to where our taxes are going. Where's the $540 million? Where's it gone? It's just you look at the big picture. You say you're worth $1 billion. You own a team that's probably worth $2 billion. Why should we give you money? Pay for it yourself. That's what they say.
Well, but when you become more educated and knowing the importance of these franchises, that's why losing the Rams was huge for the city.
Well, sure it was.
Not just because, you know, you didn't have a football team to watch on Sunday, but because of all the money that got sucked out of the city.
Well,
the hotels and the restaurants that aren't busy now, that gone out of business, the jobs that were lost, the income for the city to do, you know, fix other projects that needed attention, all that's gone when you lose a franchise like that.
And it sets a precedent that, you know, hey, you don't want to pay for us to redo the stadium, and we're leaving.
And
hold cities accountable, and they hold them as a hostage.
Yeah.
Either pay for us or we're gone.
you call that bluff in a second. I don't know what the relocation bylaws are for MLB, but I'm sure they're paying a chunk of money similar to the NFL, right? Like, the amount of money it's going to take to rebrand and move and leave Ballpark Village behind in dust. Like, there's no way they're doing that, and I
but
would
no
definitely
ever
call them.
No one's ever threatened that.
We're talking about hypothetical situations, Doug, that are probably never happening. I'm just saying, if they do hold this team hostage and say, hey, you don't get to pay for it, we're going to leave, that's not the best business move if you're looking to make money. That's a ton of money that's coming out.
They almost left once, didn't they, as far as they were going to move the stadium into that barren ground out in Earth City? Didn't they say they were going to build a new stadium out there
the
at
Cardinals?
One point?
No. Mark Lamping in 2000 went public and said they are going to talk with Governor Ryan of Illinois, and I think they did, about the threat to move the team across the river.
Mm-hmm. So it was some. I thought it was Earth City, but they were going to move it out of downtown.
I think that was a rather empty threat.
I would agree.
There's ever a chance they were moving to East St. Louis.
I would agree with it. But I said, and anytime I say this, it really upsets people, and I don't know why. I'm not saying it to provoke. I'm just saying, giving you my honest opinion, that in 2050, the Cardinals will not be in downtown St. Louis. Maybe I'm wrong. It's not like I have inside word. It's just I'm kind of like looking at the logic of it. That's how the ballpark at that point will be over its life expectancy, and I think that they will move more to the population center, unless something happens with downtown St. Louis, which I do think is possible, in which there is a resurgence. And I realize as we sit here in 2024, that seems absolutely absurd, but I do think that is a possibility. Wouldn't necessarily call it a likelihood, but I think it's a possibility. And so if that's the case, then it would make sense to capitalize on remaining there. But if the population center continues to move west on the Missouri side of the river, then I would see the Cardinals moving west as well.
Could be, but if they're planning on another high-rise residential tower right now, that probably wouldn't be done till 2028, 2029, something like that. You'd think they're going to want more than 20 years out of a property like that. I don't think that that's on their mind. It would be on my mind, but I'm not sure that that's in the cards right now for the Cardinals. Some of that is because of the geography of this town and the population.
It's a Metro East element.
Even if you live 20 miles away, you're still just 20, 25 minutes away from downtown.
Well, I can tell you this. When we were talking about, you know, and the 101 audience is certainly different, although there's some overlap with Balloon Party and TMA, but it's definitely different. Jackson and I were citing the statistic that Derek Gould had in his column on that being the lowest attended Cardinal weeknight game in Busch Stadium 3's history last week. I guess you were out of town.
No, I was there.
You were at the game.
Yeah.
And so I think at 31,000, that was the lowest. And then the night before, it was super low as well. And I asked people their thoughts as to what's causing that. I continue to think that the television situation, these are indirect effects of people just not being as invested as they used to be. Certainly, there isn't a lot of enthusiasm at the moment for this year's team. And it didn't even cross my mind personally, but for a number of people, and I would gather, you know, like I said, that audience is different than this one. Again, there's some overlap, but it's certainly different. And there's sports fans who listen to that station all day long, so that's a different set of circumstances than this show. But a lot of them say they don't want to go down there because of crime. And whether real or perceived, that is their reasoning. And that was, you know, that's not like that was just a bunch of texts, and it wasn't even something that was really on my personal radar. But I do think that that is at least for some people, and I don't know how many, what percentage, but that's if you're doing an analytic, like the team isn't that exciting, they're not that good, it's going to cost however much for a family, or if it's just me and my wife, or me and a buddy, or me and a couple of my buddies, whatever it is. And then we got to spend this to park, and then we're not sure about the safety of it. It's a night game. It's Tuesday. There's nobody around. Let's not mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
So do with that what you want, but that was something that I hadn't included in the discussion because I always default to that television situation as being the material issue.
I hear more and more people saying, I just don't want to go downtown. They're afraid to go downtown.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know if that's warranted or not, but there's certainly a fear from people who don't want to deal with it. Just don't want to deal with it.
Chairman Stephen Wild says, you're an ass for saying that, Tim. That's Chairman Steve. Mm. in Wildwood. But I still have him winning the Jay Randolph Jr. Fan Page Club Championship. My favorite part of the show, Civics 4500 with Professor Kakis and his trusty T.A. Plowsy. Two guys who are ignorant to, you know, money, fiscal planning, and overtax application to one's own community. That's from Dale Esteban.
I'm not sure what I said that was completely wrong.
Dale Esteban, call it.
They're not. This is all hypothetical. They haven't asked for $500 million. DeWitt came out this morning saying they haven't asked for the public, and that may not be the route they take, even if they do need money that they don't know if they need yet.
And what did Doug say that was wrong?
I don't know. Probably something.
Oh, you're Professor Kakis.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Kakis in there.
I didn't even think about it. I just assumed.
I would too until I heard Kaki. Unless that's a new nickname for me. I don't want Kakis.
When I walk around that stadium, I don't see anything at all wrong with it. I don't know what you're going to update or what needs work.
Well, I like loved the second Bush Stadium. And I remember saying that when I was I remember going to the Mark Lamping press conference. I think it was at the Bowling Hall of Fame. You remember that? Mm-hmm. They would do press conferences there. And I'm like, the Cardinals in Illinois. I didn't play poker then. I'm just like, oh, this is a bluff, but whatever. I get it. They got to do this little deal and do this dance.
He was mad that day, too.
He wasn't. The Cardinals then, though, I'm telling you, there's something to, in this market, having a guy like Mark Lamping be the face of your franchise. Mm-hmm. Don't you agree with that? A guy who's... You know,
Kevin Demoff.
Exactly opposite. mm-hmm. Harvard Westlake from Southern California. His dad's an Asian who had, what, Marino and that 83 Elway. Mm-hmm. You know, viewed as a carpetbagger, elite. You need a guy from the brewery who went to Vianney, mm-hmm. South County. So, therefore, it's, you know.
It's one of us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know. So, they had that because if you would have had... The guys who went to MICDS, and that's what it still is viewed now, can't have that. There's a little, you got to know the little nuances of the prejudices in the market, and this is certainly a unique one around here.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Tim, I am surprised by the number of people my age in my 50s that say they won't go to Cardinal games because of the crime. I shake my head, but I hear it a lot. That's from the ghost gerbil.
I hear it a lot. A lot. Yeah. Now, what's that?
That was so loud.
You had the audio down, I'm sure.
I actually thought that came out of my computer.
It did.
It did come out of Plowboy's computer.
No, I think, yeah.
Iggy's phone.
Cletus asked me to play golf today.
This is not the topic.
I said it was.
Cletus was involved with the Cardinals.
Well, I always look at a text when I get it because it could be important.
And he sends audio?
Well, I didn't know. He said, "Do you want to play golf today?" And I said, "I think it's going to rain, but I want to count on at least two times next week. I want to get out." Then he sent me a Facebook link. I thought it was just somebody answering a question about rain today. I click it, and it's a video. Mm. I didn't expect Cletus to send me a video.
No. Well, you know, we're all dealt.
Come on, Cletus,
sometime.
You're better than that. You know I'm going to open it.
Well, you opened it up.
Nobody knows I'm going to open it. You know I'm on the
air. Just don't open it then. Wait till the commercial
break.
How many
videos do you get when it's a Facebook link? It's usually a post.
Turn the audio down.
It is down.
It couldn't have been down. Yes. We heard it.
Here, I'm going to show you.
But if we did hear the audio, that means the volume is
down. Well, I know, but
down.
I have it down. I don't know what else I can do. Okay, Tim, look it. You're going to see the up and down on the thing. You see?
Cut.
All right, I'm going to go. If it's down, then when I push up, it's going to go up, right?
Yep.
There you go. It was already all the way down.
Now, we've established that there's two separate volume settings.
Well, how do I do the ones on
go to your settings. Go to your settings and go to sound.
Longo bigs, Doug.
Yeah, we don't need to wait for me to do this.
If you're injured in a car accident, you need an attorney. You need the best one you can find. If any of my family or friends were ever injured in an accident, I want them to call Doug Biggs and CD Longo at Longo Biggs Injury Law. For nearly 10 years, Doug Biggs and CeeDee Longo have been recognized as the top 40 under 40 personal injury lawyers by Super Lawyers, the National Academy of Personal Injury Attorneys, and the National Trial Lawyers Association. They are both participating in the J. Randolph Jr. Fan Page Club Championship, and we're 10 days away on the countdown from Balls in the Air at Gateway National. Mr. Licks against Iggy, Plowhawk against Todd Reising, Jackson against Mr. Siders. Doug, who are you playing again?
Jim Haley.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Old Jim Haley.
And my rematch with the Pope, and Doug Biggs and CeeDee Longo are participating as well. They're listeners of the program. That is great to have people sponsoring the show who love the show and listen. LongoBiggs.com. Doug and CeeDee are local, friendly, professional, and most importantly, excellent personal injury lawyers, and they're listeners of the show. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision. It should not be based solely on advertisements. LongoBiggs.com. Guess what I did yesterday? You're never going to guess. I called Greg Kreiling.
Oh, you did? You're going in for a little hair consultation.
I caught him, after the office had closed, but I left a message, and we'll see what's doing. We'll see what's doing.
Yeah, I don't know. Go in there and see if they can help you out.
We'll see what's doing.
I don't know.
We'll just see what's doing.
Yeah.
Tell me about what I'm going to experience.
Well, it depends on which option they have for you, and some of that depends on how much donor hair you might have. If you have enough donor hair on the sides and back of your head, you could get the complete FUE or FUT procedure.
Nice.
I had the FUE procedure where they shaved the sides and the back of my head,
right,
and then the place where I was thin up at the front, and then they take the little hair grafts from the sides and the back that are not susceptible to male pattern baldness, and they move them to where you need them.
Oh, the shrub gatherer.
I guess the doctor could be called the shrub gatherer. He has technicians that do that as well, technicians that have been with him for a long time. They work very quickly. There was no pain involved at all. The whole process took 4 or 5 hours, and they brought me some Chick-fil-A to eat, and I watched TV for a while.
Did you wash it down with some waffle fries, boy?
I did not have the waffle fries, boy. I did not. I thought that would be just a little too much to be eating waffle fries while I get my hair did. But I got it did, and now look at it. I got a better hairline now than I've ever had at any point in my life. I keep thinking my hairline is going to look better at my funeral than it did at my high school graduation because I got tufts aplenty. I am Tufty McTufterson now. I got more hair than I ever dreamed of having. Thank you, St. Louis Hair Restoration. The FUE procedure worked perfectly for me, and the little laser cap is working well for Jackson also.
Yeah, whenever I put my laser cap on, which just takes 6 minutes a night and is really helping the thickness of my hair, and especially the crown region, I always eat waffle fries.
Oh.
So about like 9...
I didn't know that they were correlated.
Yeah, 9:25 each night, I have about, 18 waffle fries while I sit there with my cap on, and I go to bed with greasy fingers, and it's lovely. And you can do the same thing, go into St. Louis Hair Restoration, free hair consultation, mention TMA, $250 off of a hair treatment at St. Louis Hair Restoration.
There it is. Great to have them on board, and I'll probably be talking to Dr. Kreiling today, Doug. We'll see.
Oh, that's exciting news.
I don't know. I might be the silver fox. I have no idea. You know what I mean? I haven't seen my hair in 18 years.
Well, whatever color it is on the sides and the back, that's what it's going to be.
I got a little gray in my tufts here. That's it, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, whatever. Yeah, that's okay.
Hell, I don't know. All right. My understanding is Jeff Lottman, JeffLottmann.com, is in the building. He's going to join us in the Schaefer Door Company, 9 o'clock hour. We'll also have the Design Air Heating and Cooling email today, the morning after, at InsideSTL.com. And Doug, and now it's on to Hilton Head. Alejandro Toasty is 4 under par as he is now on the back nine at Harbor Town. But there's Emiliano. And do you say Grillo or Grillo?
It should be Grillo.
It's Grillo, who I put on my team. I still have our team, Doug, but on my $5 team, I bet. I took off Oberg and put in Cantlay. That let me have a little bit of money left over to take off Lucas Glover and put in Grillo.
Nice.
Okay, fascinating.
Well, he's 3 under through five. He's heading to a golf hole that he probably isn't going to hit driver on. That's number six. I was in the middle of the fairway about $130 out 2 weeks ago today and then just blocked it into the trees and took a double bogey and the round just collapsed. I doubt that happens to Emiliano Grillo. Iggy, Cam Young is also tied at 3 under with Grillo, and they're all chasing the Argentinian Alejandro Tosti. Two Argentinians at the top of the leaderboard, as you expect.
Yoga, Cam Young.
There you go. You're hunting.
I do, yeah.
If anybody has Cam Davis, he's over par. I could see him being kind of chalky.
I think he had Cam Davis.
Yeah, Iggy, I could see him being kind of chalky because he's played well.
You don't think of people playing a lot of golf in Argentina.
Yeah, I know.
You think of
beef.
Yeah.
And
those cowboys.
What do they call those
cowboys?
Cowpokes.
No, the ones in Argentina. Oh, they wear their gauchos. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, they're gauchos.
We'll talk about it on Balloon Party.
Okay.
Jeff Lottman and the Design Air Heating and Cooling email of the day coming your way in our Schaefer Door Company 9 o'clock hour, plus Mike Francesa talks with a caller about baseball in 1908, and Mike Francesa gets frustrated.
So good.
We'll have that audio for you. This is TMA presented to you by Brown & Crouppen.